Well, we started a series here about 3 weeks ago on prayer. I'm not going to finish it today, but we're going to get into it. But you know, we've had some things happen this week. You know, the church is under persecution. You know, and you know, I don't think we realize just really how serious it is. Even here in the United States of America, the church is we're under attack.
That's right.
Okay, and worldwide, I mean, you know, how many of you saw the news about the 21 martyrs in Egypt? So, I have a video this morning that's actually being shown all across the country today, because I think we need to honor those men that and remember them. But remember their families. Remember that there's other people over there that are going through this. Amen?
Yes.
So, gentlemen.
You know, it is a very dangerous time to be a Christian. Torture, beheadings, destruction.
You know, the highest level of persecution of Christians.
A church congregation barricading themselves in from hundreds of riot police.
They're enduring attacks for their faith like
along
never
with the savage
before.
Kidnappings of Christian schoolgirls in Nigeria by Boko Haram and the burning of
Christian
images
churches.
Of violence dominate headlines.
Christians are being warned they have a choice. Convert to Islam, pay a very steep price, or face death.
Chilling new video showing the beheading of 21 Egyptian Christians.
Beheadings of 21 Christians.
21 Christian men beheaded by Islamic State.
The title of the video is a message signed with blood to the nation of
we
the cross.
The sharpest jump in violent attacks against Christians. We need to make the persecuted church an issue of prayer.
We lift up these men's family, their families, and the rest of the Christians that are over there that are battling this today and tomorrow. Father, we lift them up, and we pray for their protection.
Yes, Lord.
Father, and we, those that have died in your name over there, Father, I agree with that statement. Let their blood be a seed for the church to revive itself, wake itself up, and turn from their self-proclaimed ways and turn towards you and to seek you. Father, your word says that if we will pray, Father, that you will hear and you will heal.
Amen.
So, Father, we lift them up.
Yes.
We lift up their families. We lift up the rest of the men and the women and the children that are over there, and we pray for their protection. Father, that you would, just the arm of protection would be over them, that your shield would be over them.
Yes.
And Father, I pray for those men that are doing these demonic acts, Father. Father, I pray that they would come to know what they are doing is wrong and immoral, and it's just wrong. And that they would turn from their ways, Father. They would turn from their ways and turn to you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
because they, you love them also. But this wickedness needs to cease and desist.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. So please, you know, I just encourage you. We've been talking about prayer for the last 2 weeks, and I'm still on a roll. I'm relatively, worked up about this. Because I want to get some things done. How about you? This stuff can't keep going on. Amen? You know, a few weeks ago, I just want to do a real quick review again. A few weeks ago, we did a... week one of this series, you know, we went through what is the church, you know, I'm trying to remember how to make this work here. There we go. And one of the things that we went through and did some research on, we found out, you know, that the church is not as big as we think it is. You know, that if you were to ask the nation, you know, well, is this a Christian nation? Everybody said, well, yes, we're like 80% Christian. You know, about 7 to 9% of Christians go to church. 79% of Christians are involved in what's going on today. That's it. You know. And he said, well, I don't know about that, Pastor. Well, I remember taking a look at Bend here when several years ago, and the number of people that in Bend that go to church was about 5%. So that number's really not off. Well, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. So I don't support the church. This might sound kind of hard, but either we are or we're not. Amen? And lip service just doesn't... I don't think always works. Amen. I think we need to be doers of the word, not what, you know, just hearers or say, yeah, I'm a Christian. The next thing that we saw was personal transformation in church is rare today. You know, that second or third song that we sang this morning, just awesome. It's like, oh, that was me. The very first verse is about I was lost, I was in chains, I was in this, you know, and then I was found, and it's like, man, that was me. And if I'd have just said, well, I'm just going to make Jesus Lord of my life and that's as far as it's going to go, but not change, I would still be the same person I was back then. And I wouldn't have, you know, and I'm still being transformed. I mean, every day, every week, you know, the Father shows me something else. It's like, hey, Randy, you know, you need to work on this, you need to work on that. And, you know, and Randy, I want to know you more. And it's the same, you know, we've all got it. We all need to be to that point. And the third thing was the biblical literacy is declining. It's declining. And I'm going to get into that this morning. I'm going to get a little raw today, if that's okay. Rawer than normal. In this nation, we're letting things happen. We've let prayer get taken out of church back in 1962, right? And it's just gotten worse since. Things that are illegal, that are today illegal, are being allowed to be done anyway. It's okay. Things that were immoral are no longer immoral. It's like, how did that happen? You know, did God say, you know, I just love this. And when people say, well, God changed his mind. God does not change his mind. He has never changed his mind. He never will change his mind. Amen? And then the fourth thing that we see is the church is losing its power, its light. And, you know, when I was studying this and working on this series, I thought, that's just wrong. That's just wrong. Amen? I mean, it's to the point, it's really to the point where people don't even believe that God will heal anymore. You know, not in this church.
That's right.
Okay? And people say, well, I don't know if he'll heal me. Well, okay. Once you know that he will, then you can be. Amen. Once your mind is renewed to what his word says and it drops down into your heart, you watch, things will begin to change. You'll begin to change. Your understanding will begin to change. And you know, here's the other thing. It's like, well, you know, I just really don't know what God will do. Well, can I give you a hint on what to do here? You know, let's spend time in the word and let's spend time with him and find out what he will do. Because there he is, right? He's not trying to hide from us. I think we're trying to hide from him. You know, let's not be that kind of a person. So we went in and we looked at Hannah. Remember 1 Samuel chapter 1, and she was barren and she couldn't produce fruit. So in a way, she's a kind of a picture of the church today. She's barren. She's not producing fruit. The church is shrinking in America. In the world, it's shrinking. You know, people say, no, we got this mega church over here, and we got this church over. They just started up. There's 200 people there now all of a sudden, and there's 500 or 1,000 in this one. And most of those people came from other churches. It's like, we're not increasing. It's not happening. You know, people have come to me and they go, well, Pastor, we're just not growing like we should be. And my question to you, sir, is what are you doing about it? And her question to me is, well, what are you doing about it? Well, I'm training you. I'm teaching you. I'm sharing what the Word says. I'm preparing you for the work of the ministry. I am not the only one in here for the work of the ministry.
That's right.
Amen? You know, and it's like, well, we might be small, but we can still make a difference in this town. Amen?
Yes.
You know, if we start making a difference, then we won't be so small. Amen. You know, a few weeks ago, we had 2, 3, 4 people get healed up here.
Right.
Now, here's a question. How many people did you tell about it?
Wow. Good.
Hmm?
Awesome.
Because, see, when you start seeing God move, you need to start opening your mouth.
Okay.
And then, you know what happened in our church? Even if it's like, well, I don't know if I believe in that or not. Well, you weren't the one that got healed. They were. You know, you saw it. I mean, Donna. You know, Donna's up here dancing around the week after.
Yeah.
Mary's ears popped open, not her head. I think I just said the other day, you know. Our heads need to pop open, I think, you know, sometimes, you know. You know. Lori, recovering.
Yes, she is.
You know, it's like, come on. You know, if it's happening, you know, what are you doing about it? Well, let's go see what God's going to do. Why don't we go tell people? Remember the Don Francisco? You know, got to tell somebody. I got to tell somebody. I saw what happened. You know, it wasn't even him. It was something, you know, I got to go tell somebody. We need to be excited about what God's doing. And we might say, well, God's not doing anything in my life. Well, he wants to. He so wants to do something. He so wants to transform you. He so wants to make you walking in his power, in his might, in his glory. That's why Jesus came for us. You know? Not just so we could go to heaven, so we could get people in this world saved. Amen? So we could get people transformed. You know, what are we going to do with all the, you know, is drugs on the upswing in this town? What are you going to do about it? Because I'm going to make a statement. Political activism is out there, right? It's out there, and you know, and if you're a minority and you can make the most noise, and you're going to get heard. Well, according to the numbers I'm seeing, Christianity is a minority now, and we need to make some noise.
Yeah.
But I want you to think about this. All the political activism that we've seen in the church, I'm way like in the middle of my sermon right now. All the political activism we've seen in the church, what has it produced? Who said nothing? Nothing. Because he didn't say, if you become politically active, and that's not wrong, okay, you got to vote, right? The Bible would be a good thing to vote. But he said, if my people will what? Pray. Church, we got to start praying. We got to start getting serious about this. I mean, this nation, I'm so far ahead of myself. Okay, so anyway, I'm going to just back up here a little bit. Amen. there's a... I got to go back to what's her name, to Hannah. What caused her to pray the way she prayed? Does anybody remember? She was what? Does anybody remember? Before I put it, she was what? It was a heartfelt prayer, but because she was what? She was desperate. She was discontented, right? And it led to change. She was discontented with the way that she was. She was barren. She wasn't producing fruit. The church isn't bearing fruit today. The church needs to become discontented and start praying. And not just, oh, yama yama gucci, Lord, would you change something? You know, would you make all these other people? It begins with each and every one of us on an individual basis, like, God, I'm tired of this junk that's going on down here. And we need to change this. And I want you to use me. And I want you to use my church. I want something to happen. And Lord, I'm going to make myself available to you to get something done here. Even if it's just one person this week. Lord, I want you to use me. And then when you walk out, you know, get up off your knees and you go out there and be available. Don't just get back to being busy. Go open your eyes, open your heart, and let him use you. I don't believe that you got to pray an hour a day or 2 hours a day or 10 hours a day to get something done. Yeah. Hannah, how long did her heartfelt prayer? I mean, we can read it in like 30 seconds, but it was from her heart. It was from, you know, it's from my guts. It's from down inside. But unfortunately, too many people say this to me: we're just too busy to pray. You know, we groan. We go, oh no, but we do. We go, I'm too busy to pray. And you know what? I understand that statement because we are busy. We've got this and we've got that and we got school here and we got, you know, kids doing this and we, you know, and so that's why, you know, I've been talking to a few people and, you know, I've seen, you know, friends of mine, you know, pastor friends of mine, where they'll do prayer in their church for 24 hours a day and they'll do that once or twice a year. And, you know, we've done prayer here where we've had prayer every night for a week. And you know, we do all these things. And, you know, just to be really, just super really honest with you, not that I'm not, but I just don't see a lot of fruit out of that. I haven't. But can you imagine if each of us, okay, Hannah was just one person, right? And she changed the course of history. One person. So just think if two of us, Tony, in this church says, you know what? I'm going to take 15 minutes today. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to 15 minutes. I can. You watch TV longer than that. Right? 15 minutes. And so this, just think. So if two of us were doing that, the word says wherever two or more people are gathered together in my name, right? And then he says one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight. So just imagine if we've, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80 of us were like 15 minutes a day working on the same thing, the same vision, the same focus, going the same direction, getting something done, you know, getting some soul. We're not seeing souls get saved in here, church. And I really believe it's because you're waiting for me to do something. Every now and then I get a call. Hey, man, you need to come talk to my friend. No, you need to talk to your friend. Yep. One of the things that I see happening in this church is that we're not readers. I mention books all the time and books back there, they just sit there. How many times I've brought up that book, Zero to Eternity in 60 Seconds. People say, Pastor, you need to teach us how to witness. And I'll tell you about this book that basically will teach you how to witness. And I wonder how many people have gone out and bought that book, Zero to 60 in 60 Seconds. The word says study to show ourselves approved. And if we're not studying, how can we be approved? Well, Pastor, I'm waiting for you to tell me. I can't tell you everything. So does that make sense? God so loves you that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, and it wasn't just so that we could go to heaven. Jesus kept saying this. He kept saying this. He says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is the kingdom that we belong in. And I don't think we talk about the kingdom of God enough. So we need to talk about that some more. Amen? Mm-hmm. That's a place that we need to go. And I go there every once in a while, but I don't think I go there enough. Jesus went there way more than I do. So, you know, we need to talk about him a little bit more in that place. Amen? Martin Luther. Anybody ever heard of Martin Luther? Yeah. You know, he made this statement. He says, whoever... Whoever prays well, studies well. Whoever prays well, studies well. You know, see, a lot of times we try to study the Word without God involved. You know, and we need the Holy Spirit to be involved when we read the Bible. Amen. That's where, you know, I remember before I got saved trying to read the Bible, it didn't make any sense. Once I got saved and I started reading the Bible and I would pray before I started reading, all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's what he was trying to say. Amen. You know, and a lot of times the church today, what we try to do is we try to find a we try to find a formula for everything, right? The three steps to answered prayer, the seven steps to answered prayer, you know, or the two steps on how to get healed, or the three. You know, I think that way. You know, put the square peg in the round hole, hit it with a hammer, it'll fit. You know, and then that's how you get this fixed. Or some people think, well, I can just earn my healing. I'll just be really good to everybody for a week, and then I should get healed. Hebrews 4:16 makes this statement. He says, "Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Listen. God wants to help you in every area of your life become the person that you that he wants you to be, which is better than the person that you probably think you want to be. And he wants to help you get there. But we try to get there on our own. It's like, let's read, back here, it's like, well, let's read a self-help book. Well, the self-help book might be okay, but the self-help book helps help. Okay. Say that 15 times real quick. The self-help book with God behind you will help you really change. But then it'll become permanent change, not just change for a day. You know, because by tomorrow you'll forget what the chapter said. Amen? So therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace find grace to help in time of need. Are we in need? And you might say, well, I remember asking somebody one time, I asked the congregation, I says, "Is everybody in here have every need met?" And somebody actually raised their hand. Yes. And I thought, that's awesome. Because if you have every need met, you can help other people meet their needs.
Right.
Hand came down. See, and we're not just here for ourselves. We're here for each other. We're here for the people out there that aren't saved, that don't know Jesus. We're out here to love on one another. We're here to let our light shine. We're here to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. And it's not just the saved sick, it's also the unsaved sick. You know, when Jesus prayed for people, those people weren't saved yet. Did they get healed?
Yes,
they got healed, didn't they? You know, we need this person. We need this person called the Holy Spirit. Amen. We really do. Romans 8:26. He says here in his word, he says, likewise, he says, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. See, when we pray, we can't pray. Listen, we need the Holy Spirit to help us pray. Okay, because he goes on here to say, he says, "For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us," we can say also, "with groanings which could not be uttered." The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. You know, if you know, the things that are going on in this nation today, you don't know what's going on in, you know, behind the scenes. We just kind of see what they all want us to see. But we don't really know what's going on. Amen? We think we might, you know, I watch, let's see, I got CNN, and I watch Fox News, and I listen to NPR, and I watch this, and I see these websites, and da, da, da. I mean, there's so much information out there, you know, about what's going on, and none of it says the same thing. So we don't really know what's going on. But the Holy Spirit does. And he knows how to pray for things that we don't. Does that make sense? So why did he send the Holy Spirit? Everybody ever think of that? Why did he send the Holy Spirit if he didn't want us to tap into him? Well, I've been to churches where, you know, the Holy Spirit's there, and, you know, people are shaking and baking, and they're running around the sanctuary, and they're waving flags, and that's awesome. You know what? They're celebrating God. That's not all bad, is it? Why did he? Is that what he sent him for? So that we could just run around the church, you know, and, you know, we don't, you know, y'all don't bring flags, so, you know, so that's not why he's here today. Why is he? He's here to help us. He's here to. I can't do this on my own. I get up in the morning sometimes, like, Lord God, I'm just tired, man. I'm tired. I got this to do. I got to go work here, and I got to go to church tonight, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. And I got, you know, this person wants to meet, and I'm tired, man. I'm tired. And he says, get up, because I'm your strength. In me you can do all things, because he that's in you, that would be me, is greater than he that's in the world. We can do this. We can do this. Amen? I mean, that's how he looks at things. So, you know, I really think that, you know, one of the, you know, I got a slide here. I think one of the least used and often misunderstood privileges that we have as Christians is praying in the Spirit. That's why we have him. Praying in the Spirit. In Jude 20, he said, beloved, he says, build yourselves up. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. He's there to build up our faith. He's there to help us build up our faith. He's there to help us build up our faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We're supposed to be praying for those guys in Egypt, in Iraq, in Syria, in Jordan, in Lebanon, and all these other places. They're in the battle. Now, I wonder how many of us would be here this morning if we were going through the persecution that they're going. I mean, there was, I can't remember what town it was now, there a few weeks ago. They burnt every Christian church and Jewish synagogue to the ground. Boom. You know, and it's sad, you know, that we go, well, you know, I mean, they're going through that kind of persecution, and we have, you know, a lot of American Christians have a hard time getting to church. Yeah. You know, there's a big race on today. I need to stay home and watch that race. Or there's a great football game on today, and I need to, you know, I just can't miss that. I got to watch it live, because somebody might post a score on Facebook and it'll ruin the whole game for me. Well, don't look at Facebook. What? Go without Facebook? My phone automatically dings when Facebook, when somebody puts something, some of my friends on Facebook put something on there. I mean, come on. Right? You know, it's no wonder we're losing our power. It's like, if God's not that important for us to come together, I mean, you know, a couple times a week and worship him and praise him and talk about what he can do for us and build one another up. It's just, Craig, I know you don't like that word, but it's frustrating. Are you okay? I'm just getting started. Anyway, How did Hannah pray? Does anybody know how did she pray? How did she pray? We've talked about it. How did she pray? Out of her heart, right? I mean, her whole being was just like, God, that other woman is kicking out kids every other week. And then she comes over to me and sticks her tongue out at me and goes, neener, neener, neener. I mean, what's with that, Lord? I tell you what I'm going to do, Lord. You give me that man child, and I'm going to give him to you. I mean, think, it's what she wanted her whole life. And she has Samuel, and she takes him to this corrupt priest, Eli, because she made the promise. And if you want to read after this, you know that Eli and his two sons, because of what they were doing, ended up dying. And there was Samuel. And the word Samuel means, love it, heard of God. Her prayer was heard of God. She went home, her husband made love to her, and she became pregnant. And the word says that the father heard her, remembered her. What did he remember? Her prayer. See, God loves us so much that he's actually willing to hear your prayers and answer them. In fact, that's what he wants to do. In fact, that's why he sent the Holy Spirit, because you don't know how to pray all the time. So he says, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'll send my Holy Spirit so he can help you pray, and then we'll get the work done." So I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to help you understand my word so that you can get our work done. Amen. You know, when somebody says, "Well, why me?" Well, because God called us to do these things. Now, she prayed her heart out. See, and she didn't have the Holy Spirit there to show her what to do. You do. Right. See, that's what's cool. You do. You do. Say, I do. Yeah. I do. So how do I, you know, have you, you know, here's a, I'm going to go here. He said, how do I pray like Hannah? How do I do that? Oops, wrong one. Let's go there. I already gave you the answer. How do I pray? How do I pray like Hannah? Right? I mean, you ever wonder that? It's like, God, these prayers. And then Paul, you know, he has these awesome prayers. And if you read through Paul's letters, you see how he prayed for the church. You know, sometimes people say, well, we don't need to pray for the church because it's all been done for us and da 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 da, blah, blah, blah. Then why did Paul pray for the church? All the time. He's in prison. He's praying for the church. He's the one in prison, and he's edifying the people outside of the church. Right? Did Paul think it was important to pray for the church? Did Jesus think it was important to pray for the church? Then maybe we should think it's important to pray for the church. And if we think it's important to pray for the church, maybe we should pray for the church. And if you don't think it's important to pray for the church, you won't pray for the church. But those of us that do think it's important will. Now, this is something else you may not know, because he said that we're going to, when in Revelation, when he comes back, he's going to come back. Sue and I were talking about this on the way in the church this morning. And we're going to get wages. Wages and rewards. Revelation's what? 22:12. Well, if he's going to, when do we get wages? When do you get wages? Why do you get wages?
I work.
Mm-hmm. Keyword work. See, we're not called here just to sit around on a cloud and drink, you know, pink lemonade all day. We're called here to do the work to do the work of the ministry. We're called here to pray for one another. We're called here to love. That takes work. See, we're called here to take the word outside of these walls. Amen. That's work. Amen. It's work being nice to somebody that doesn't deserve it. Right? It's like, oh God, these people. Right? Right? Yeah, you ever pray like that? Oh God, these people. You know. Lord, what are we doing here? Have you considered maybe coming back today? You know, like today might be a good day for this to happen, you know? Get on that big white horse and come on down. Amen? This will be a good day. Amen. I mean, you know. But how do we get to that place? To where let me go there now. By doing it yourself. right? By doing it how?
By
yourself. You need to experience that experience. And be honest with you, you know, if you've never really prayed for 15 minutes, you might go into it going, you might even go, is there anybody out there? Right? I mean, I'm just being honest. I've been there. And like 3 minutes, you're going, this is so boring. I've prayed everything I know in the first 30 seconds. Right? You ever been there? Am I the only one? Yeah, actually, I think it took me about 10 seconds, I think, and I was done. Right? You know? And so hence, you know, hence the Holy Spirit. But you know, we can read books about it, we can pray about it, we can do all the, you know, but really what it comes down to is actually spending time with Him. You know, there's one book it's probably the first one I always recommend. So write this down. It's by a lady named pastor's wife, Lynn Hammond. It's called The Master's Calling. You know, some of you I think probably have it now, because we've carried it for a long, long time. I don't think I have any copies back there now, but you can get it on Amazon. The Master's Calling. The Master's Calling by Lynn Hammond. Awesome book. And we learn by doing. We learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in our prayer and in our life by actually walking these things out. Amen? So I just encourage you to become a reader.
Yes.
Become a reader. Right. Don't just take my word for it. Become a reader, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, we have there's marriages that are failing all across this country. I mean, the marriage rate in church is just as high as it is outside of the church. It's over 50%. The answers to save those marriages are in prayer. Financial problems. The answers to financial problems is through Jesus. It's through prayer. The answer to the deeper things of God, you know, are by spending time with Him. You know, so many times people go, they'll say that to me, and it's like, why, Randy, I just want the deeper things of God. I go, okay, let's get the shallow things first. Okay, Jesus loves you. Let's get that one down. He came to save you. Let's get that one down. He came to teach for you to be a discipler. Well, you know what? I'd rather just go into my room all by myself and read my Bible, because I don't want to put my religion on somebody else. Well, God does.
That's right.
It doesn't seem to bother the devil. He doesn't care if he puts his religion off on somebody else. Amen. It doesn't matter. Oh, Lord, should I even go there? Maybe later. Okay, yeah. we okay, just settle down. I told you I'm worked up about this. The answers to bringing people to Jesus are in prayer. I mean, I got books, I got formulas, we got all that stuff, but the answer is you being who you are in Christ Jesus and sharing that light with other people. Amen? You know, the answer to our church growing is in prayer.
Amen.
It's in prayer, you know. And shout me down by saying amen, but then to do this, you know, shout me down by going home and actually praying on these things.
Yeah.
That's where I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Amen. The answers, I've sat on that side. I know what it's like to go, amen, brother, preach it. Yes, yes, amen. I'm not going to go home and do that. Maybe I have the intention to do that. I want to do that. And as soon as you try to start doing that, I'm going to tell you something. Let me give you some truth here. The devil will come to try to take your time away. You're going to have to make it happen. You're going to have to make it happen. I mean, it's just like, you know, when people, you know, when you go on a fast, people call you up and invite you out to dinner. With your, going to serve your favorite food. Amen? So if you set aside this, I'm going to pray at this time, you know, your phone will start to ring. Your email will start dinging away. Facebook will start clanging away. I mean, all this stuff will happen. You know, you just got to turn that stuff off and say, okay, God, this is my time with you. I'm gonna do this. I'm going to do this.
Earn your wages.
Let's go to work. You know, every single person in this room, every one of you has gifts of the Holy Spirit that He's given you. Every single one of you. There isn't one of you in here that doesn't have some. At least one. I'm talking the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. You've all got one of those. At least one. So the question is do we walk in them?
Right.
And for the most part, the answer is probably no. Yep. If we don't spend time with Him, we can't know Him. And just coming to church once a week is not getting to know Him. There's that scripture, and this one just, I'm not a fearful person, but this is one that causes me to shake every now and then. When he says, where the guy says, Jesus talking, he says, you know, there'll be that time when you will say to me that you prophesied in my name, and we cast out devils in my name, and Jesus says, go away, I never knew you. It's like, well, they knew him, but did he know them? So it comes back to that heart thing. You know, it always comes back to the heart. God cares. And I was driving in, before church. Most of you might know this. I don't know if you do or not, but I disappear, and I always tell Troy I got to go run an errand. Yeah, it's kind of a joke between us. But I go away to pray because I don't want to be wrapped up in somebody having trouble with the copy machine or where's this or where's that and so on and so forth and. You know, the battery's working or this is working. I just want to go spend, some time with Him. I want to be worked up about what we're going to be preaching and what we're going to be doing here. That's the place where I just want to stay focused on Him. The answer to having true intentional relationships, we talked about those in our point groups. Intentional relationships help transform lives. And the answer to really having those is one is being there, and the second thing is praying. And the answer to becoming a true discipler is in prayer. The answer to boldness is in prayer. You read the book of Acts, the first prayer that they prayed was for boldness. It wasn't for a house, it was for boldness. That we could spread the word. And in 3 years, correct me if I'm wrong, they had spread the word to the whole known world in 3 years. And we've been here for 16 years, and all the churches in this town have not spread the word to this whole town yet. We need to pray.
Yes.
Are you with me? Hey, Troy, could you bring me one of those cards? You doing okay? Am I being too mean this morning? No. Okay. Two of you agree with that. Awesome. Okay. Thank you, sir. I've often been curious to what would happen if we came to church, like this morning, and we all get in place, and John, and Dan and Jeff got the countdown, in 5 minutes, boom, boom, and they get the music going and before the service, and then Sue and the worship team walk up here and they're all ready to go, and then I walk up here and I interrupt them and says, you know what we're going to do today? We're just going to read the word. Y'all go sit down. We're just going to read the word today. For 2 hours. Are you kidding me? Or even better yet, how about this? You know what? You guys all go sit down because we're going to pray for an hour, hour and a half. I wonder if there'd be any air left in the room. Do what? Pray for an hour and a half? What do you think you're going to do when you get to heaven? You're going to praise God. A lot. There's some cherubims that have been up there for a while. Long time. That go around the Father sitting on a throne. And every time they go around him, they see another aspect of him. And they've been doing this a long time. You know, and you know, I've been around for about 40-some years, and bless. And you know, I don't see an aspect of him every time I, you know, and it's like there's going to be so much to know. And wouldn't it be awesome to learn what he's just made available to us here now? To do his work that he's called us to do, to see other people come into the kingdom, to see their lives, to see, you know, see addicts transformed into serving God, to see people that are sick and crippled, maybe, you know, and even dying, you know, and even in, you know, Book of Hebrews, dead, be raised back up. Well, that just can't happen. Well, it does. It did. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, I keep bringing him up. Go buy some Smith Wigglesworth books. Okay, please. Well, he's an old timer. Whatever. The old timers have some stuff going that the new timers don't. You know, I mean, a lot of times I hear this. Well, you know, the youth today. Yeah, the youth today haven't experienced it. Because we haven't experienced it. And we got to go back to Finney, and we got to go back to Wigglesworth, and we got to go back to Ian Bounds, and we got to go back to all these other old timers to learn. Well, this is what it can be like. I think it was I'm pretty sure it was Finney. He's in Pennsylvania, and it was not Finney; it's somebody else that was around the same time. And he lives in this. He's living in this little shack up on a hillside. And these shacks are like 10 by 10 or 10 by 8, you know, made out of some kind of boards or bushes or whatever. And this guy's down in his little shack. These are all a bunch of loggers. And he's down there. He's up there in his little hut, you know, shack, whatever, and he's praying. And people, the other loggers that live on the hillsides, are just somehow drawn out of their little shack down to his shack to get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. See, the word says that if you lift me up, I'll draw people to you. Well, did you hear what I just said? Yes. If you lift people up, lift Jesus up, he'll draw all people to you. Finney wasn't afraid to lift up Jesus. He wasn't afraid to pray. Amen? Amen. Are you? Are you? I got another question for you. Ready for this? How can we believers be, or how can unbelievers be reached effectively if we Christians have not been transformed? Does that make sense? So in other words, I can't be the person that I was, you know, 25 years ago. I guess it's been like 40 years ago when I got saved. That's why I'm like 40, because that's when I got born again, see. And so I can't be that same person and minister the word. I can't be that same person, say, hey, this is what Jesus is going to do, because I didn't know what Jesus would do for me until I got transformed. And I'm still learning what Jesus will do for me. Amen? Does that... Right? We need to be transformed. You and me. Yeah, well, I'm already saved, Pastor. Oh, so am I, but I still need to be transformed. I still have areas that I can improve on. My love walk can be better than it is. Amen? My knowledge of the Word can be better than... My knowledge of or understanding, my heartfelt understanding of the Father can improve. My method of prayer can improve. My being a husband to my wife... I don't know if that can improve. No, it can improve. How I love you guys and how I treat you, that can improve. How I teach the word and how I preach the word, it can improve. And all those things can happen, but it's going to happen through prayer, not just because I want it to improve. Not just because I read some book or listen to some tape from somebody, but through prayer. Amen? Are we doing okay? I keep asking you that question, I know. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14. He says, if my people are called, who are called? Are you called?
Yes.
He says, if my people, and the key word here being if my people, and we're his people, right? And he says, if who are called by his name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Yes. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Let's read it again. Let's read it out loud together. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Our land needs to be healed. Amen. Our society today, I'm getting on my soapbox here. Our society today is becoming more and more godless every single day. Look at the laws that are being ignored and the laws that are being passed. We're a republic. And republics are run by laws. And our laws in this nation today are being ignored or broken. And the new ones are being passed regularly, which are taking away our religious rights in this nation over and over and over again. Persecution of the Christian church in the United States of America is on the rise. The things that were declared immoral by our Father in heaven today are no longer immoral, according to our nation. Killing babies in the womb or even out of the womb has become accepted. It's okay. 1.05 million babies were killed last year. And since Roe versus Wade, 57.6 million have been murdered. That's murder. In my book, that's murder. Morality is mocked every time we turn around, especially on TV, in the movies. When's the last time you saw a marriage performed on TV? When's the last time you saw two people just living together? Because that's the way it's done today. The so-called leader in the Christian faith, it was a short time ago, was a pastor of a mega church in I think it was Minnesota, recently appeared on Oprah. And he made a comment. He said, I think culture is already there. This is a pastor on Oprah. I'm going to roll my eyes. She's very influential. But listen to this. I want you to listen to the statement. And the church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago. The church is under attack from within. This nation needs God. Yeah. This state. I mean, look what just happened with our governor in this state. I mean, it didn't just happen. It's been going on for a long time. And then his replacement. I don't like to tell people I'm from Oregon. Oh, I've heard about you guys out there. What happened to integrity? You know, we're doing that, you know, the series, you know, that we're doing Alter Ego. It's about all those things that Christians need to be. Integrity is one of them. Without integrity, you're nothing. You got nothing without integrity. Amen? I keep hearing that politicians, you know, it's okay to lie. It's okay for politicians to lie. It's okay for movie stars or whatever you call those celebrities. It's okay for them to lie. They have to have stories. It's okay. It's not okay. Amen. Is it okay for you to lie? Well, why is it okay for them to lie? Because I'll tell you why it's okay. Because the church isn't praying. That's why it's okay. It's a double standard. And Christians, you know, I'm sorry, but you know, I think we're living a double standard. Are you the same person when you walk out these doors and you're out there all week than you are here Sunday morning? I mean, do you talk out there like you talk in here? Do you talk in here like you talk out there? Amen? I mean, am I doing okay? Am I doing all right, Craig? Yeah. Am I doing all right? I wanted to hear good news. Now, this is good news. Because we're changing.
Yes.
We're going to change.
Yes, we are.
Amen? God did not forget her prayer. Amen? He did not forget Hannah's prayer. He remembered her. He remembered her prayer. And she, you know, she did what? She bore what? A man child. She bore fruit. What should the church be bearing today? No, not fruits, fruit. No. We have fruits. That's why we're in some of the trouble we're in. No. I'm with you, man. I'm just teasing. Right? I remember one guy one time told me that the church is really a granola bar. You know, we've got some good stuff. We got some fruits and we got some nuts, you know, and you know. No. Our job, the church's job, is to just bear fruit. That's our job. We have a job. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't have a job. You have a job, is to bear fruit. You know, and some, you know, some of us are gonna plant, some are gonna water, some are gonna harvest. Some are going to finance, some are going to this, some are going to do that, some are going to, you know, but we can all pray. Amen? We can all, every single one of us can pray. You know, this is our goal. Simply bear fruit through prayer. But it will take time to pray. Amen?
Yes.
John 15:8. He says this. He says, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And in the middle of John 15:16, he says, and I choose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. You got a job to bear fruit. There's people in this town, you know, it's like we can cut which the nation needs this and the county or the state. You know what? But Bend, Oregon needs us.
Yes.
It needs us. And this, you know, there's men and women that are called to a national ministry. I'm just called to a local ministry right now. It's right here. This is my town. This is really, I believe in some ways, I'm going to answer for what's happening in Bend, Oregon when I go to heaven. I'm going to answer for what I... We're under, you know, I'm teachers, you know, we're under stricter, we have stricter things that we have to answer for. I mean, it just says that in a word. You are going to be held more accountable. That's why I can't always just get up here and tell you, it's all okay. You're good. You're going to heaven. Isn't that sweet? Let's sing Kumbaya, and then let's go out to lunch. Because we got a job to do. We need to get some people in this town saved.
Amen.
We need to get some people in this town delivered. Amen?
Yes.
We need to get some people in this town healed. Amen? Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, we need to start in the church. We need to get healed, and we need, you know, we need to get saved. You know. Amen? So, this church, okay, I'm talking this church. I'm not talking, you know, I got buddies here in town and meet with them all the time, and I'm not talking about their church. I'm talking about my church. I want to bear some fruit. I'm looking for somebody that wants to hook up with me. And I'm not asking you, and I'm not going to ask you, I need an hour a day, because I know you won't do it. Because you probably, if you haven't been doing that, you ain't gonna have, it's not going to happen. Amen? I mean, it's just, that's just, I know how it is. I would love for you to give me 15 minutes a day. You can start with 5. You can work up to 15. This is what you'll find. You know, is when you start doing this, you'll find yourself, okay, I'm gonna do 5 minutes. You'll get up to 7, and if you keep at it, you'll hit the 15. And pretty soon, 15 won't be enough. You go, Lord, I gotta go. I'm sorry, Father, but I. And that's the place to get to. You okay with that? I mean, you know what? I'm even gonna sit here. I stand here in front of you, and I'm gonna say, I don't even want you to do it. I don't expect you to do it every day. I'm busy too. I too work. I too have wife, and I too, I don't have kids at home, but you know, I'm busy. And then I've got this. Oh, I got mom. The beauty of that is we can send her to her room. You know. So if she gets too much trouble, it's like, Dorothy, go to your room. And you do. She obeys, you know. Because I don't want to have to spank her. So. So I can, I even know how hard it is sometimes to get that 15 minutes a day. I do. I totally understand. You know, and for me to sit up here, stand in front of you, okay, y'all, you know, there, you know, there's a, you know, the, you know, when Jesus and, you know, in the garden with Peter and John and those guys, and he says, what, you couldn't even give me an hour? And it's like, you know, that would be awesome if you give them an hour. But I'm just going to come to you this morning, and I'm going to say, church, 4 to 5 days a week, I would love to have you pray for this church and its needs and each other for 15 minutes out of your heart. And you go, well, I don't even know what's in my heart. It's like, see, that's why we need to do that. Is that too much? Because I really... you know, I look at how short Hannah's prayer was, and I mean, there's so many examples in the Bible, you know, but I see how short her prayer was, and it's like, I don't think that we got to spend hours to get something done, and then just kind of let it grow from there. So that's what I'm going to ask you to give me is that's not me, give it to God. I mean, it's for God, not for me. It's for the church, it's for each other. Really, what we're going to do, we're going to do it for each other. Because, you know, when I go into prayer, you know, and you know, Jill goes out and she witnesses to somebody, and when I'm praying for you guys, I'm praying for her, and she goes out and she witnesses, I get a piece of that action, you know. Or if, you know, I'm praying for your, you know, when I pray for your finances, you know, see, I pray for the finances of this church, but I don't just pray for the finances of the church. I pray for your finances, because if your finances don't get better, the church's finances don't get better. So see, when I pray for your finances and you get a promotion or you get an idea, you know, whatever, so I get a piece of that action. I get because you got blessed, and God goes, oh, Randy, thank you for praying for them, because of that prayer, you know, you're coming into agreement with them, we got something done. Now the ministry of the gospel can go out farther. No, let's see here. See, Troy, can we hand those out? I want to. Can you give me a few more minutes this morning? I want to hand out these cards here. I want to hand these out. And these cards are going to change quite periodically. And what this is a little prayer list. It's like, because people come and say, well, what do we need to pray for? I'm going to tell you. And you can just put these in your Bible, or you can take a picture and put it on your electronic device, whichever way you want to go. Did everybody get one?
Oh, sorry.
Notice the lines on the bottom. You know, because I bet you all have some things that you personally can add to this list. Okay, so let's walk through this, because it's like, oh, Pastor, you want me to pray for all this stuff in every 15 minutes? And my key thing in as being a Christian is this, is being led by the Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's my key thing. All right. So here's this list, and you know, this is pretty much a list that I go off of a lot. And I go, do I pray for every one of these things every day? Typically, yes. But sometimes I'll get to praying for just one thing on here, and I'll spend the whole time praying for that one thing. Well, what about all the others? Are they going to fall through the cracks? No, because the Holy Spirit's asking me to pray for this one thing or this one person or whatever, and he'll take care of the rest of those things that day. See, but if he tells me has me focus on me, just our vision or whatever, maybe he's got you praying for the point groups, and then he's got somebody else talking about the children's church ministers that we have, and somebody else, two or three of you are praying for the souls to come into the kingdom through our church this year. Somebody else is praying for the transformation. You see what I'm saying? It's like there's a bunch of us here. We don't have to be praying the same thing at the same time. God's taking care of it through us because we're all being led by the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's another thing. I'm just sitting here thinking is that we need to pray. We need to pray for all the businesses in this church.
Yes.
Better jobs, better promotions. So this list is going to get updated quite periodically as we go, and maybe some things, I don't think these things will ever drop off. Well, yeah, some of these things will. But so let's just go through this list here for a second. Our vision, intentionally build relationships and be disciples that affect our community, okay? Now, our point groups are building, they're good, they're going good, they're starting to gel, people are starting to click, But one thing I want you to understand about the point groups, it's not about just us four and no more in those point groups. We need to expand.
Yes.
Amen. And we need to bring people into those point groups. Okay? And then bring them in, then get them into church or vice versa. Get them, bring them into church and get them into the point groups. Because that's where we'll all grow and we'll all grow together. Oh, Easter's coming up. Easter typically is the biggest day on every church in the United States of America. Who are you going to bring? And then, but here's the thing, is if we go, well, we're going to bring them to church on Easter and we never see them again until next Easter, we're not really doing a good job. We need to bring them to church on Easter and bring them back the next week and the next week, okay? And not everybody's going to do that, but you see what I'm saying? But if we preclude it with prayer, we'll go a lot farther. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, what if they're a smoker and a sinner and they just got divorced and they just, great! Right, the biggest, I think the perfect church is one that's full of sinners that need to get saved.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's like, well, yeah, but I, it's like, whatever. Let's do our job. Amen? Our job is not to, we're not the convictor. We're not the judge. We're the bearer of good news. Jesus is Lord. Amen? There's one thing, y'all don't have to pray the same thing, but that's a good one to pick on. Amen. Let's just get things moving.
Yes.
Okay. Point groups and our facilitators.
Yes.
And my facilitators are gone today. But I'm going to tell you anyway, you need to be praying for your point groups. Don't be showing up at a point group and I'm talking about my facilitators and really the rest of you too, but especially my facilitators. Don't be doing a point group not having prayed for that thing during that week. I mean, that's 101 there, okay? Children's church ministers and our kids in general.
Yes.
Man. Once a person reaches adulthood, their chances of getting saved are like 3%. Another thing that needs to be on this list, I'm going to do this forever. It's like, oh, we need more. I want more families in here.
Amen.
I want more families. Okay. If we just become an old church, with a whole bunch of gray hairs in here, then we're a dying church.
Amen.
And I just want to speak to my older people in here. We need to learn to work with them because they're the next generation. Not despise them. We need them.
Yes.
And you need to work with them. Well, I don't like their music. Get over it. I'm serious. I'm sorry, Melissa. I didn't say deal with it, though, right? I'm serious. If they don't feel welcome when they come in here, they're not going to come back.
Yeah.
Oh, man, they got kids. Well, yeah. They need to get saved. Well, yeah. that has a mom and dad needs to get saved. Well, yeah. Their marriage is on the rocks. Well, here we are to help them save it.
Amen.
Well, I don't know if I have time for that. Well, then go pray. So somebody else does. Amen? I mean, that's just a bad attitude. How about transformation in all of us to be more like Jesus?
Yes.
Something we can pray for. The people to be drawn to you and drawn to the church, you know. And here's the key point. Stay. You know, the devil comes and he steals people away. He really does. You know, the one thing that's not on here that we need, you know, you can be writing these things down that I'm adding on here as we go, is we need to take authority over the enemy.
Amen.
That should be at the top of the list. We need to be taking authority over him, over his influence, over people, and over the finances that affect this church and our job here. Then underneath it, we have needs here. I got, you know, one increase in our church's finances and yours. Okay, I'm serious about that. Yours need to increase so that ours increase. The other, you know, Craig's been doing an awesome job, you know, giving you nuggets every week on why you need to, why we should, you know, support the church. There's not an argument there whether we call them tithes or offerings. A lot of times people say, well, how much should I give? Well, tithe is a good place to start. So, it's like, well, is it a tithe or it's 10%? You got to start somewhere, you know, because otherwise it's just a buck. I mean, I remember before I got this, you know, I thought the offering plate would come around. It's like, oh, here's my dollar, man. Here's my dollar. Well, if we all gave a dollar, none of us would be here. This building wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here.
Amen.
We also need a lead guitar and a bass guitar. And a sub note to that is we need a lead guitar and a bass guitar that are people that we can get along with and our worshipers. I'm serious. You guys go, that's funny. No, it's not funny. Because if you put a musician up here that's hard to get along with and is not a worshiper, it doesn't work. You know, Steve DeFoy is awesome to work with. John Brooks. I'm still praying that boy will come back. You can tell him I said that too. You know, I mean, Sue goes, he's such a pleasure to work with. You know. So far, we've only had one really good lead guitar player that we were able to work with, and that was Tyson. Everyone we've had since then has been a challenge. And I said that really nice. You should be thankful. Anyway, I personally want a backup piano player for Sue. You know, remember when Sue used to stand out here in front and lead worship? You know, remember that? You know, it's like, yes. And we need a youth minister. I'd like to have a youth pastor. I said, well, we don't have that many kids. Well, maybe we would if we had a youth pastor.
Yeah.
Amen? You know, I mean, sometimes we try to get the cart before the horse. You know, and we're always trying to play catch up. I don't want to play catch up anymore. You know, I'm not talking about the ketchup you put on your food, you know, lunchtime today. I'm talking about, you know, make ketchup and things of the Spirit. You know, I want to get ahead of these things. And so, are you with me or are you against me? 15 minutes a day, 4 to 5 days a week. Take out I'll even allow this. Take out your smartphone or your timer and set it. You see, I'm desperate. I'm like Hannah here. I'm desperate. I can't do this on my own, church. A lot of churches, you know, we belong to, we've had intercessors, and these people would come in, you know, and they're kind of strange. And they just, bless them, you know, they can just be, intercessors can be just different. But you know what? They're prayers.
Yeah.
And they'll pray for hours. And I look around and I don't have an intercessor. I know ministers that have paid intercessors. They pay people to pray for their ministry. All I got, babe, is you. And I think that's all I need, is you. I really do. And I'm sorry, but you got me. Me either. Not really. You know, I think we can. I don't think. I know in my heart. I know in my knower that God has got us doing this because He wants to get something done here.
Yeah.
He's tired of playing church.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah.
You know, He's tired of playing church.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see this stuff. This stuff that's going on over in the Middle East. No, it's trying to get. It's been in Canada already.
Yeah.
You know, our illustrious leader wants to bring the Syrians to our nation now. It's like, oh, well, there's another avenue. Our borders aren't protected. This nation needs prayer.
Amen.
You with me?
Yes.
Jesus is good.
Yes.
Amen. Father, I lift up my people this morning. Your people. I mean, they're your people, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that... they catch the vision to pray for these needs that we have, to pray for one another, for souls to come into this kingdom, for the Holy Spirit to manifest Himself in our, you know, in this body, to people to be healed, people to come to know Jesus, for every financial need that every person has in this body in here today, that those needs would be met. Father, I think we have all the tools to. It's not these tools in here that bring people to Jesus, but it's a hook. And I thank you, Father, that we have all those parts and pieces in place. Father, we just want to see lives changed. I just want to see them changed. That's what you called us here for. That's what your kingdom's about, is seeing lives changed and coming to know you and spending eternity with you. That's what's important. Father, I thank you for that. And Father, I just pray that you begin to change our hearts to where you and church and each other is important. Because the world says that we'll know our love, that the world will know us by our love for one another, and that we just love each other so much that we can't stay away from each other. Father, thank you for that. I thank you that we're walking in that wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love you guys.